When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Oh yeah, mic check. 1 2 1 2. All right, let's do it, man. My last hour on the Fan this early morning. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, looking at the box scores, looking at Twitter, looking at different things that people are saying. And I just always think that you know we need another perspective. We'll get back to the Yankees and the Orioles perspective, the Orioles fan perspective, which I'm leaning into, especially after for weeks. I told you they're not better than us, the Orioles. The Orioles are not better than the Yankees, and I can't wait to play them. And yeah, we'll see. The series is even. The Yankees very well could win behind Luis Gil, but they also very well could lose. Now, the Mets lose a game, but man, think about all the losses the Met fan has gone through forever, but specifically this year, that's not a game where you feel like, ah, man, I'm embarrassed, this team sucks. Hope is lost. That's a game where you battle back. That's a game where you had a no-no going. That's a game where you got to the late innings and the bats went quiet and the bullpen didn't have it and you realize, okay, the win streak ends. But you got a soft landing spot. They'll be off today as they travel to Chicago. In that first game, you got to face Shota Imanaga. And man, what a steal. As much as we wasted time on Yamamoto and who was going to get Yamamoto between the Mets and the Yankees, this guy was available for much less, and he's been really effective. He's 7-1 with a 1.89 ERA. He's in the conversation for Cy Young in the National League. He'll face Jose Quintana, not great, but, I mean, if you get to him, if you can hit and Quintana can hold, you start another win streak up, maybe by sweeping the Cubs. Now, the Cubs pitchers for the rest of the series are TBD. You got Tyler McGill going on Saturday and David Peterson going on Sunday. Oh, reliable, those two guys, the last few years. And, you know, I talked about Wrigley and how much I love Wrigley and the bleachers out there. I've had some episodes out there, and you guys have probably seen their beer snake or the cup snake that they do. They've got a great baseball culture in the north side of Chicago, and they – for a long time, didn't have lights out there, so they would always play day games. So you'll get a day game Friday at 2:20, or a day game, excuse me, Saturday at 2:20. You'll have the day game, you'll have the night game Sunday at 7:10. Yeah, and the day game Friday. So yeah, 2:20 on Friday, 2:20 on Saturday, and then you'll have a 7:10 game under the lights in Wrigley, which, I mean, they've only had lights for maybe like 5 years, and I think that's Sunday night baseball, so that should line up good for the Mets fans. And you know this Grimace era is not over, because when you do see them on Sunday night baseball, there's a 100% chance that Grimace pops up, because it's ESPN and it's national television. And the Grimace era, it's not something that's just going to go away after one loss. It's here to stay. 888-808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How's it going?
Good, good, good. Just got to deal with, you know, some of these young Yankee fans online that they, you know, they never seen anything. They don't know how to deal with adversity. They think that, yeah, I hate the Yankees now by tipping my cap to the Orioles and saying, yeah, I admit they're probably better than us.
I called him from that point, but listen, I'm going to disagree with you with Baltimore. I mean, how many years is, you know, in hindsight, you know, when I first called up, I was, you know, I was a Blue Jay fan for a long time before I jumped on the so-called blue and orange bandwagon, one of the worst decisions in my life. But, you know, over in Toronto, it wasn't much better. And with them coming up, on the come up, the whole talk of the town was the big three of Guerrero, Bichette, and Biggio. Now, one's out of town entirely. Biggio's in L.A. And there's talks of Bichette and Guerrero being out the door, you know, come the trade deadline. And they honestly did nothing with them. They had two playoff appearances. They got swept both times.
They've always been frauds.
Here we are with Baltimore. Right, but yeah, here we are with Baltimore, and 100 wins aside, they also have no playoff wins to show for. They got dog walked by Texas. Is
who went on to win the World Series.
They were another team I like come up, got nearly, you know, not nearly any as much luck as Baltimore did during the regular season. I know because Baltimore was homegrown. Texas brought, you know, like Simeon Seager, that $100 billion middle infield. But I feel like they get hyped up way too much. You know, they got these guys like Westbrook, Hauser coming up now. They got, I think, Kerstad. Oh, well, you look at Jackson Holliday came up, all that talk. He went like 1-for-40, got sent right back down. So I think for a team with all this talk and love,
he's barely old enough to drink.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I get there's time. But you see guys like Rushman.
He's
right
not
on,
old
you know,
enough
right
to buy a beer. He's 20. I don't know. I'm putting respect on the Orioles. I've been paying attention to them for a while.
I think they got to be humbled. They're the Lions of the MLB, in my opinion.
They've got guys like just Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman alone. Those guys are not going anywhere. They're dogs. And, I mean, when you fill in the blanks with guys like Santander, and, I mean, Mullins has been struggling, but he's not going tonight. Awesome. Like,
yeah, well, those are kind of, I guess, ones like the father figures of that team. And I think Santander's a pending UFA. I love for the Mets to get him. I feel like he's underrated as hell. But, you know, I got no love for them. I feel like, you know, they got to be humble too. But anyway, man, you know, talk on Mets. Listen, I think when they were in that stretch and they got the Cubs coming up, you want to talk about horrific bullpens. They're basically the Mets bullpen on steroids. You brought out today they had they were playing San Francisco. Soler hit a grand slam. I think it was the ninth inning. He almost found a way to lose today, too. But two of the worst bullpens in the league. But I feel like, you know, when we were losing those games, 8th, 9th inning, you know, even you point to the Miami game, they had, like, that 4-run lead. I was kind of saying, you know, when we lose, why can't it be, like, a 5-3 game like tonight where, you know, we put up a good fight, you just have a tough inning or two down, you know, in the middle of the game. That's kind of what happened. You know, obviously, Manea had the no-hitter through 5 or something. He walked the bases loaded in the first inning, but you know, all in all, it was a solid game. They had like an inning or two was a hiccup. I mean, Drew Smith flat out sucks, and he hasn't even been bad this year either. So when you put him in a high leverage spot, you know, you're kind of asking for trouble. But, I mean, listen, one of the big signs, and I feel like this doesn't get talked about enough, was, and I accuse him of this too, him or Alonso and Lindor. I feel like these two guys, everybody talks about when they go yard, it's when it's a 5-run game in the 9th inning. So the fact that you see Pete hits the two-run go-ahead bomb in the 5th, like they're actually hitting meaningful homers. I mean, that's a great sign. Right. They had that game against San Diego. I think it was the Sunday game. It was the first time all year Pete and Lindor homered in the same game. So the fact that their bats are lighting up and when the game's actually competitive, I mean, that's a good sign. So, you know, obviously the bats weren't the problem tonight. Just had a hiccup in the bullpen. And, you know, like you said, you know, you're not going to sweep every series, but you got a team that you're pretty similar, like basically hand in hand with talent wise, you know, competitively. Chicago's basically a carbon copy of you in the NL. So if you could win this series, you brought up Imanaga's a tough beat. But, hey, man, you take 2 or 3 against the Cubs, that's a good sign. But anyway, man, appreciate the time.
Yeah, see, positive energy, right? Ross was talking about how he couldn't stand the team. Maybe he didn't say that exactly, but he wasn't trying to be bought back in, sucked back in. He wasn't trying to believe this team's not worth. Like, a 7-game win streak, a purple McDonald's mascot, and, you know, guys actually hitting like they're supposed to hit and pitchers pitching like you expect them to pitch, better than you expect them to pitch. You got to the end of the series. You know, obviously you pressed all the right buttons in the 7-game win streak with the bullpen. They didn't blow those games. It's going to happen. It's literally going to happen. It happens to all teams in baseball. And speaking of all teams in baseball, it's funny, right? When I look at, you know, the Baltimore Orioles, and I just see Yankee fans discrediting them and just trying to not accept that, like, they're hyped up for a reason. They have some good young players, and they have veterans that fill in the blanks, and it does not matter. These guys can come out of a bullpen you never heard of and get it done. What I'm saying with, you know, the Baltimore Orioles now, that first series in Camden Yards, that 4-game set, I didn't believe, especially because how hot the Yankees were. Carlos Rodon had his worst start. How many times you hear me say Aaron Judge had one hit? And, you know, it took some heroics from, like, Oswaldo Cabrera for the Yankees to win one game in Camden Yards. We forget about that, too. Like, we just want to look through Yankee glasses and see everything how we want to see it. But the reality is they have a good team, a good manager. Now they have the front office that's going to make moves at the deadline to try and stack their rotation and fill in the blanks with them. And they're hurt right now. They're missing starting pitching. They're missing Jordan Westberg, and they're not making excuses. That game could have ended 4-1 in 9 innings. Without the heroics of Giancarlo Stanton, who Yankee fans also love to diss and kill and act like he's not one of the better hitters over the last decade. Like, without him, that game ends 4-1. There were parts of that game where I was just like, this team is, nah, it's just not going down. Ultimately, what I'm saying here is tip your cap. It's okay to say right now, I'm not saying for the entire season. I'm not saying if the Yankees meet the Orioles in the postseason, they can't beat them. I'm saying as of right now, you are what your record says you are. And it's not for clicks. It's not for WFAN calls. It's not for anybody to like get riled up. The Orioles are up 4-2. They win today. They're up 5-2 on the season series. And they're hurt. They are banged up. And when you see this weekend, right? I'm pretty sure Michael Harris II is still out, and I obviously know Ronald Acuna is done for the year. The Braves are coming to town, and they have a ton of hitters and talent, and they have some guys that can pitch. They're without Spencer Strider, but the Yankees very well, if they lose with Luis Gil on the mound today and then lose the series to the Atlanta Braves, the Orioles are headed to Houston to face the Astros, who nobody's afraid of. So as Yankee fans are still telling me, oh, well, if they're better than the Yankees, why don't they have a better record? Because they haven't played the teams the Yankees have played. They haven't, like, they're a game and a half back. But if they beat the Yankees against Luis Gil, and then they go to Houston and handle business, and the Yankees don't handle business, we'll be in here Monday. And if you think it's me saying, all right, I tip my cap, they're the better team right now, it'll be everybody on the fan saying, oh, the Yankees can't beat good teams. I'm not the one that ever says that. I think the Yankees are the good team. I think they're the best team in baseball. But I told you in April, here comes the gauntlet in June. And so far in June, it's going about how I expect it, right? There's been some good moments. There's been some not so good moments. Going through the gauntlet is going to tell you a lot about yourself. Clay Holmes might not be what you think he is. Trevino might not be what you think he is. This bullpen might not be what you think they are, right? So, yeah, you swept the Minnesota Twins, but then Juan Soto's got some arm inflammation. You got to sit him down. You lose two in a row and lose a series to the Dodgers. You think you're going to Kauffman Stadium to sweep the Royals, and they get off the mat, fight back, no hit you for six innings. Clay Holmes blows that game. And then you go into Fenway, Beantown, and the heroics of Alex Verdugo going back to the team that discarded him. Yeah, you're able to beat them 8-1, but then they knock you down back-to-back games, take the series, and now you're dealing with the Baltimore Orioles. 4-0-5 start here on a Thursday. Luis Gil on the mound, and it's really like it's got that feel of like a must-win. There's no must-wins, and the Yankees definitely don't have must-wins this early, but like, right. Cole Irvin on the mound versus Luis Gil. The Yankees got to find a way to get to him and win this series before Atlanta comes in. Let's go to Peter in Manhattan on the fan. Peter, welcome back.
How you doing, Keith? Good morning, Keith. Just a quick story with Willie Mays, and I have a few comments or questions, by the way. So Willie Mays, when he made that catch, he had a relief pitcher come in, Don Little, to make the pitch, the worst who hit the shot. So after Willie Mays catches the ball, the manager comes out to take the relief pitcher out, gives the ball to the manager, and he says, well, I did my job. So I thought that was pretty funny. So I just told the manager, you know, I did my job after Mays caught it. Now, as far as the, you know, the comments I want to make, two comments. Listen, Keith, you have 9 walks. The Yankees have 9 walks. They have to win the game. I mean, both right. of us basically give them the game.
I think I mentioned that. They were trying to give you the game walking. Like, come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. I mean, 9 walks, you have to win the game. The other comment I want to make is you're talking about Baltimore possibly be a better team. Baltimore has won 21 straight series against divisional rivals. I mean, they win tomorrow. That's a record.
And they don't get swept, and they don't. Like, I'm with you, Peter. I love the Yankees. I want the Yankees to win. I know the Yankees are good, but I'm not going to act like the Baltimore Orioles aren't what they are.
Right. I agree with you. And Keith, I have just an expert view. The question I have is, there's no answer to this, but I wanted to get the view. So they hit George yesterday. What's your view about payback? In other words, Yeah, you know, not necessarily this case, but in other words, they hit our players. What's your view on payback? I mean, do you do it immediately? Do you wait for situations? I wanted to get an expert view on that. Keith, I hope you're well. I hope Jackson's well. Thank you for the call, and you be well.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call, Peter. I am well. The surgery, I took it like a champ. I'm not supposed to go back to lifting, but during the break, I was in here hitting some push-ups for the first time, and I'm like, all right, I can drop down and get 25 push-ups easy. I'm all right. It didn't hurt. So I'm probably going back to lifting next week. It's summertime. Sun is good. My son is good. He's loving the summer, going to the pool, being outside. He's starting to walk better now. We're doing great. But as far as this retaliation, this payback, that it became the theme of Yankees Twitter today. It became the theme of WFAN yesterday, Yankees Twitter yesterday. The Yankees won the game. So my retaliation is win the damn game. All I wanted to do was see them win the series today. All I wanted to do was see Gerrit Cole return and the Yankees win and then not have to worry about Luis Gil on a getaway day. I get it. I understand the unwritten rules of baseball. I also get that the Met fan, speaking on the Yankees, right, wants the Yankees to be the Mets so bad. This isn't the situation that the Mets were in the last couple years where they were leading the league getting hit by pitch. This isn't the situation that the Mets were in last year where you're missing guys like Pete Alonso because he's literally hit by pitch multiple times and then put on the IL shut down. The Baltimore Orioles don't punk the Yankees. But, like, I understood, you know, that being the thread of the show or the theme of the show and you know, fans literally showing up, 47,000 fans, as soon as Gunnar Henderson gets hit, it's like, yeah! One, I don't like it because, like, we just saw Mookie Betts get hit. Mookie Betts is out for 6 to 8 weeks. And, like, I don't know if you guys have ever gotten hit by a baseball. I've been tackled probably 1,000 times in my life with pads on. Getting hit by that baseball, I can't imagine. I've been hit in the head in Little League. I've been like, but like being hit by a 90-something mile an hour, like I don't wish that on anybody. You got to be careful with that. And, you know, obviously they hit Gunnar Henderson in the back, but they did it in, I think, the seventh inning, down 4-1. To me, it was just weak. Like, to me, it's like, yeah, you do it now because you got nothing to lose because Marinaccio gave it up. I jokingly was like, when Marinaccio came in the game, I'm like, you guys want to win the game or you want to retaliate now? And, of course, Marinaccio gives up a two-run bomb where I'm like, he should hit the next guy. He should hit the next guy. You already gave it up after Cole held it down. He should hit the next guy. But my whole thing with the retaliation is retaliate by beating them. Retaliate by winning. Don't retaliate by trying to take out one of the best players in the game in Gunnar Henderson. That young man is fun to watch. And I know he's an opponent. I know we're supposed to hate the Orioles. He's having a great season. He's one of the best players in baseball. My wish was not to see Gerrit Cole throw at him. And specifically, my tweet today that people jumped on, and I don't know what some of you guys think. Somebody was like talking about, oh, Yankees PR has Keith on Twitter to, you know, try and calm down the fan base so they don't want blood. The Yankees do not hit me up about anything on Twitter. Nobody does. I'm a grown man. I tweet what I want to tweet. And, like, I don't have any control over what the fans think or any of that. You guys crack me up. But the tweet that I put out earlier today that 26,000 people viewed, I said, bro, there's no beef. Last night was last night. It's over. The Yankees won. Move on. See how the game goes tonight. And that's how I feel about retaliation. See how the game goes. Now, I went on to speak about, I don't expect Gerrit Cole to be on that dumb. I said, it's his first game back. He's not going to get ejected. He's going to pitch. And they're going to be focused on his pitch count. And he's going to be worried about his command and his location and not giving anything up. He's not going to hurt or scare anyone. Win the damn series tonight. That's all I said. Win the series. I don't care about, oh, well, we can't be soft. We got to send a message. No, the Orioles have been sending plenty of messages. We're better than you. It doesn't matter who's on the field. It doesn't matter if we don't have our starters. It doesn't matter if we don't have Jordan Westberg. It doesn't matter if you have Judge. So far, we've played 6 games. 2 in your building, 4 in ours. We've taken 4 to your 2. 888-808-1019. My whole thing, I get it. I remember when it was happening to the Mets, what I felt like with the Mets was like it was happening and all you were getting was like a scowl from Buck Showalter. And I'm like, wait. Like, Somebody's got to protect Pete Alonso. Somebody's got to stand up for their teammate. And like Alex Verdugo did that last night, even though he was tongue-in-cheek laughing about it, he spoke about it in the postgame. And yeah, Gleyber Torres also getting hit and Judge getting hit. Okay, two guys got plunked in the game today. It's an eye for an eye. We're even now, right? Two for two, even now. Hopefully nobody gets hit. I hate watching baseball games when guys get hit. Like, I remember watching Stan when I was in the Fan Cave 2014 get hit in the face. It's traumatic. Like I don't know. Throwing at guys, you guys don't understand. Like, and I know you guys don't understand, like, the pain. Like, I don't wish for anybody to get hit. I grimace, pun intended, when guys get hit with pitches. So, I get it. That is an unwritten rule, and this is one of the oldest things. And, like, you know, they pitch up and in, Keith. So, with the Orioles pitching up and in, you know, you got to show them, like, yeah, well, listen, I don't want anybody getting hurt. I don't want anybody specifically getting hurt that way. And payback, you pay them back by scoring runs. You pay them back by winning. But still, right, the Yankees picked the time to do it. It wasn't Marinaccio. Wasn't Gerrit Cole. It was Victor Gonzalez. And I don't know if Boone sent it or if he did it on his own. Gunnar Henderson is the guy. He gets plunked in the back. Good. Didn't hit him in the face. Good. And I forget the other guy that got hit. Whatever. What did it do? What did it accomplish? Some cheap cheers from the crowd? Yeah, you get your pound of flesh? Yeah, and then you're sitting in traffic on the major D again like, wow, damn. We're 1-6 in extra innings. Oh, damn. The Orioles have taken 4 out of 6 against us. Oh, man. Rubber match tomorrow. We might lose our second series to the Orioles. This is the year we got Juan Soto. We have Juan Soto and Judge in the MVP race with Gunnar Henderson, and somehow the Orioles, who have lost 3 of their starting pitchers, who lost Jordan Westbrook, like, they're still a thorn in our side. 888-808-1019. Let's talk about it. I love the Yankees like you do. And leading up to the series, I said they're not better than the Yankees, right? Because the narrative that the Yankees can't beat good teams, they lose with Luis Gil on the mound, and that narrative comes right back up. And, like, if you want to compare schedules, if you want to compare records for the people tweeting me, like, well, why aren't they in first? They, like I said, they didn't get to beat up on the Twins and the Royals and the White Sox as much as the Yankees have yet. But when I go and look at the Royals, right, guess who they faced last? They just took 2 from the Phillies, who are regarded as one of the best teams in baseball. They went to Philadelphia and took 2 from them, putting up 8 runs, putting up 6 runs, rocking Zach Wheeler. And then before that, they faced the, or actually that they were home for the Phillies series. The Phillies went to Baltimore Orioles, to the Baltimore Orioles. But before that, the Braves come to Camden Yards. They beat the Braves. Guess who's coming to the Bronx this weekend for a battle? Don't sleep on the Atlanta Braves. And then what did they do? They swept the Tampa Bay Rays right before that in a 4-game set. So when I look at, I've been paying close attention to these Baltimore Orioles. Like, I didn't want to give them their props because I think the Yankees are the best team in baseball, blah, 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 with the record. But, man, head-to-head, they have the edge. You are what your record says you are. Ryan is in Freeport before we go to break. Ryan, you're on the Fan. What's up?
What's up, Keith?
You know, talking the talk.
The Yankees bullpen is a big problem. I think they'll be fine, but Holmes is not a closer to me. I've been saying it all along. He's a nice piece to have in the bullpen, but he never has a clean inning. None of our guys are coming in with swing and miss stuff. We don't have a guy that we can bring in and say, all right, we're going to lock it down. You worry with everybody. I mean, the bullpen is a big problem. I think they definitely need to address that in the trade deadline, which I think they are. But, I mean, our best reliever right now is Michael Tonkin. Who would have thought? You know, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
It is. And there's a bunch of different names, and this bullpen's going to keep changing, and guys will get sent down, like Anthony Mesevich, who pitched tonight. He's already sent down. Thanks for a night. You know, guys are hurt. Ian Hamilton is hurt. Like, it just is what it is, and you're 100% correct when you say that the Yankees bullpen is an issue, is a problem. Thanks for the call, Ryan. But I do disagree with Clay Holmes is not a closer. He's been. We love to wipe away all of his saves and all of the good. He's not going to be perfect. He's not a dominant closer. And I don't care how much you guys want him to be Mariano Rivera. No one is. No one is in baseball. They sent out Craig Kimbrel tonight. And they don't even use him as much. And you heard so much in the broadcast. What did Kimbrell do? Gave up the double to Volpe. And then Stanton drove him in with a single. And, okay. Craig Kimbrell is one of the best closers, relievers of the last decade. He's up there in age now. But what I'm saying is, like, I don't know what else you're looking for or where you're going to find these guys. I expect Cashman to improve the bullpen, but it's not like these guys are just everywhere. So the two main names of Mason Miller and Tanner Scott, you think the Yankees are the only team going to be looking for them? The Baltimore Orioles are going to be looking for them too. You know, the Baltimore Orioles, I think they're missing their guy Batista from last year, right? As much as we want to talk about, you know, who the Yankees are missing, Felix Batista is not there for them. Like, it's funny because we just want to always, Judge didn't play and Verdugo was on paternity leave and, oh, this guy is hurt and Rizzo is down and, bro, it's June. Everybody's got injuries and the Yankees are in a gauntlet right now and they're not getting completely exposed, but the chinks in the armor are definitely starting to show. And that's okay because there's still some 40 days to improve this team. There's still some 40 days to make moves and trades at the deadline to shore the best team in baseball up. And sit tight, folks. That 1.5 game lead in first place, like I said, if they don't win with Luis Gil on the mound going against Cole Irvin, if they lose that game and then the Orioles go to Houston and take 2 out of 3 and the Yankees lose 2 out of 3 to Atlanta, then we're in here on Monday, and I don't know, you're going to hear the morning show, you're going to hear the midday show, and the afternoon show say the Yankees can't beat good teams, and the Baltimore Orioles are blah, 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 and just get ready for it. 888-808-1019, Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019, powered by AT&T Business.
And we're back. Like 20 minutes to go here. As I'm looking at the other side of things, Keith McPherson on the Fan. The Yankees lose. The Mets lose. But it's okay. It's okay. It's Thursday. The Rickwood Field game coming your way later today. Looking forward to it. I was just listening to the audio of the Baltimore Orioles broadcast on Masson. And, their broadcasters were talking about, wow, you know, the Yankees, if you're going to go up and in on Gunnar Henderson, and, you know, they said that was right up and in, and Gabe Morales has to warn them now, everyone's chirping for it, and shame on them, shame on the Yankees, but, you know, I guess if you're going to do it down 3 runs in the 7th inning with the bases open, now would be the time. They're saying, you know, Gunnar Henderson handled the situation very maturely, and, you know, he's handling it very well. I mean, I don't know. It's weak. To me, it's like, okay, I guess you give the fans their pound of flesh as you're down 3 runs, and a lot of fans are thinking you're about to take an L, and you eventually do take an L after battling back. But, man, we spent all day today talking about what the Yankees had to do to send a message, and the Orioles sent a message. They won the game. They won the game. And if they win the series, they get the last laugh. 888-808-1019. Let's continue to take the calls before my show ends. Let's go to Jose in Newburgh on the Fan in New York.
Yo.
Yo.
What's up, Keith?
What up?
Listen, I feel differently about this team. I don't feel like, you know, a couple of years back, but we won a lot of games, and against the good teams, we knew we weren't going to win. I don't feel that way. You know, when we have a problem because we had this guy named Mo, and he was a machine. And, you know, 9th inning, the game is over. And now when we have a human being at that position, it's weird when he gives up a run, you know? We had perfection for like 15, 20 years with Mo. It's okay.
But it's also been like 11 years since Mo retired.
I know, and we still, because, you know, and 11 years later, I'm still shocked when our closer gives up a hit.
No, I'm not.
You know, I'm still there. I still got the dynasty people in my head. That's why I judge everything by still.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm 45, and I got to see from the beginning to the end. So, that's the way I still see Mo. Like, so when a guy comes up, it still shocks me. But it's okay. These guys are human. And I'm calling to say it's all right that we lost today. You know,
of course it is.
I don't feel that we're that same team we were a couple years ago.
No, we're definitely not. Now. This is a 51 win first place team with aspirations of winning it all. Jose, thanks for the call. And let me reiterate and speak clearly and direct so you understand what I'm saying. Do I still feel like the Yankees can win the World Series? Hell yeah. Do I still feel like the Yankees are the best team in baseball? I think they can be. But as of today, as of losing four games to the Orioles, as of looking at this next game coming up with Luis Gil and not feeling that confident, but hoping against hope that they don't lose another series, seeing the managing decisions, seeing the throwing errors, seeing the bases being stolen, seeing the bats go quiet, seeing the heroics of one Giancarlo Stanton give us some life, and the Orioles not having to rely on just one guy, and the bottom of their order getting going, and them running, and them throwing, and them executing, and them relying on a rookie starting pitcher, and a journeyman the night before, and them not making excuses for Jordan Westberg going down, I think that the Orioles are a better team than the Yankees today. I could feel completely different about that if the Yankees go out and dominate them, and Luis Gil shuts them down, and they win 5-0. But I'm tipping my cap to the Orioles because I said, leading up to this, those four games in Camden Yards, Judge only had one hit. Rodon sucked. That's not, that was May 3rd. I was about to go to those games. It was my birthday. It was May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. Fast forward to now, June 19th and now 20th. I'm giving respect to my opponent. I'm giving respect to the Baltimore Orioles. I wasn't ready to give them that respect before. Now, after watching them six games, and seeing, all types of different lineups and pinch hitting decisions and, the Yankees emptying their bench and Judge being ineffective in the first series and now not being really involved in this series, the Orioles, they don't care who's playing. They don't care if they don't have their starting pitching. They don't have to have their full complement of guys. They're scrappy. They find a way. And the Yankees find a way to blow it, whether it's Clay Holmes, whether it's Jose Trevino, whether it's Ron Marinaccio, whether it's pulling Cole too early for you, whether it's pinch hitting Jamai Jones, whatever. I think that the Yankees can potentially win the season series, but I'm tipping my cap to the Baltimore Orioles, especially looking at what they just came off of, right? Just go to MLB.com and click on the Baltimore Orioles and just go look at their gauntlet that they've had to go through in the month of June. They just went and faced the Phillies at home, beat them back-to-back games to take the series. They beat the Braves, and I understand the Braves without Acuna and Michael Harris, but they're still the Braves. And Baltimore Orioles stood up to them. They swept the Tampa Bay Rays just in this month with the Yankees. Yeah, we swept the Minnesota Twins, but then lost two of the first games in the biggest series in baseball at home to the Dodgers, and then could not complete the sweep against the Royals, and then went and lost two nationally televised games on Fox and ESPN to our arch rivals, the Boston Red Sox, got historically embarrassed. Like, just be for real. This isn't a finite statement. We do these shows every night. I think I heard BT and Sal talking about how, like, we have to have takes every day. We're going to be wrong. And my take tonight is, I admit, okay, the Baltimore Orioles, I said that they weren't better than the Yankees. They might be. They might be. They are as of today. If they beat the Yankees again, I mean, you are what your record says you are. They have beat them 4 out of 6 times. If they beat them again today to take the second series, that would give them 5 wins out of 7 games. And in a 7-game series, you don't need to win 5. You need to win 4 to take the series. Rich is in Brick, New Jersey. Rich, you're on the Fan.
Keith, how are you doing? Here's my take on things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the Orioles did not win this game tonight. The Yankees flat out lost it. When you have someone that was exposed not only on national TV, but tonight's game where he has the slowest pop-up and his fastest throw is 77 miles per hour, Giancarlo Stanton can run and steal on this guy.
Yeah.
Flat out right. Easy. I mean, heck, me, at 57, weighing 250 pounds, I could still walk with
him. Orioles definitely have the better catcher.
They need, I mean, as you know, you kick him in, now you kiss him. You know, a solution could be put Ben Rice behind the plate for defensive purposes from there, you know, in tight games like this. Giancarlo,
Ben Rice has played two games.
Yeah, but he still caught a majority before switching over, and he also had the distinction of also catching Gerrit Cole while he was in rehab. Once is good enough. I mean, look what you have for Trevino. Either that or just play well from there. I'm not even going to get into what's going on with the Plunkin, because that's a non-issue. I mean, they really didn't have to do it tonight, and the old-fashioned way would have been, all right, you hit me, I'm charging you. I'm going to let you know how pissed off I am, instead of going ahead and throwing back and forth at one another, because that's all that is just, you know, a good old-fashioned whipping match. I can't say the word I want to say on radio, even though that's almost 2 o'clock in the morning from there. But, again, Boone doing Boone-y things with questionable decisions, leaving people in there. You really cannot blame Cole for the outing that he had.
I don't at all.
Because, okay, yeah, he had two runs, but he really should only had one. And Marinaccio, I mean, you know, all right, he threw the pitch, hung up, and they got him. Picked the cap for today.
Yeah, he tries to field his position. He launches the ball. He peed down his leg. The guy's not been great. He's been sent down. He didn't have a good spring. But, you know, that is what it is. They have a script. They have lanes. Thanks for the call, Rich. They had an idea of where they wanted to get Cole. And Cole would not face another batter. It was not a situation where, man, how many times have we seen Gerrit Cole in the past be like, nah, I'm not coming out, or no, like, you know, be able to kind of push back to be like, all right, it's Gerrit Cole. I remember last year talking about, like, Domingo Germán gets pulled. Gerrit Cole doesn't get pulled. Gerrit Cole gets pulled on his first outing back. The Yankees don't care. It's a regular season game. They do not care that it's the Baltimore Orioles. It is a regular season game in June. They don't care if it's the Baltimore Orioles. They don't care if it's the Las Vegas Athletics, the Montreal Expos. They don't care. Like, they have a plan, they have a script, and they're sticking to it. So it was Cole, and Cole not for more than 70 pitches, and right there, they pressed the button. And they had Marinaccio warming up, and they bring Marinaccio in, and Marinaccio, Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever, like Cole, blows it. And you know, to say that the Yankees didn't, you know, that the Orioles didn't win this game and the Yankees lost it, man, the game was 4-1. Like, obviously they struck first and the Yankees got the run back, but then when they gave up 3 runs in the 5th with Marinaccio, you started feeling right there, the game's getting away, and that was a big inning, and they blew it, and they took Cole out too early. Giancarlo Stanton's heroics in the 7th after the Orioles tacked on again made you believe, but like, most of you don't believe in Giancarlo Stanton, so what are we even talking about? Let's go to Jan in Garden City. Jan, you're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks, Keith. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Every night can't be the Yankees are the best team of all time and they're going to win it all and there's no problems. No, there are problems and issues, and the good thing about the problems and issues is there's 40 days to resolve some of them.
All right, well, I got a little something different. You'll see if you like it. You tell me if it's okay.
All right.
I'm a lawyer here in Garden City, and I used to, back in the days, I worked all the card shows. I was a lawyer for most of the promoters here on the East Coast. And Willie Mays was at this show, and I'm going to give you some great Willie Mays things, if it's okay with you, just for a few minutes.
Absolutely.
So here's what happened. Oh, it was 1989, 1990, and the show was at the Armenian Church, right by the Midtown Tunnel in New York City. And that day, Willie Mays was there with a guy named Leo DeRocher. And Willie was on one side, Leo was on the other, and the promoters said, hey, with Steve Hisler and Harvey Brandwein, they ran the show. They said, we want you to sit with Willie. I'm like, what? And they said, yeah. Well, he's a good guy, and he'll have a lot of fun. you be with him. We want the lawyer to sit with him today, and you keep an eye on him. So I sat down. I introduced myself. I said, Willie, how you doing? He was really nice. Autographs back then were $10. Any item you brought in was $10 for Willie to sign back in 89 and 90. On the other side of us was Leo DeRocha. So Willie's signing autographs. He's signing bats and uniforms and things. And Leo says, Jan, Leo was my manager back in the old days. You go sit with him because I got things going pretty good and move his line quickly. I'm like, what? He says, yeah. When I give you a single, we're going to leave. And you tell Leo to get up and go. I said, all right, Willie. So I go over to Leo. And I said, Leo, Willie sent me over. I got to help you out. Leo said, no kidding. Did you talk to Willie? I said, yeah. He said good things about you. What do you have to say about Willie? Leo says to me in the eyes, he said, Willie was the greatest player that ever played. I'm like, what? He said, yeah. He said, the guy was amazing. He was the greatest player that ever played. I'm like, wow, that's a pretty big statement. He said, that's how good Willie Mays was. I said, okay. I said, watch Willie. He's going to give you the signal, and you guys are going to go. He's like, no kidding. I said, yeah. He said, okay, there's still a couple hundred people online. I said, Willie's the boss. When Willie says to go, you're going out the back door. He said, okay. Willie gives me the two fingers. I said, Leo, before you go, would you sign a picture to Jan? Best wishes. He signed it. To this day, it hangs in my law office. And the two of them went out the back door. And it was one of the greatest moments in a long time.
Awesome.
Then Willie Mays had his 70th birthday party, and Bally's was going to be the host. And the fellow says, Jan, we want you to come down to Atlantic City for Willie Mays' birthday. I'm like, what? They said, yeah, they're having a special party for Willie Mays. It's going to be one amazing night. I said, okay. I walk in the room. There's Stan Musial. There's a guy named Herb Franks that used to play for Willie. There's every great person you can imagine. There were Rudy Giuliani, the mayor at the time, came. All his other friends were all there, and they had a nice big cake for Willie. Willie took pictures with everybody from Bally's and all the high rollers and all of the people. They all shook his hand. He was one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your life. He signed autographs. And Willie says, Jan, Herb Franks is my friend. We're going to sign autographs tomorrow morning, and all the money that I get, I'm giving to Herb. He needs money. I said, Mr. Franks, you're going to give everything that you make, Willie, from the signing to Mr. Franks? He says, absolutely. He says, he's my good friend, and I'm going to give him all the money. Willie started signing autographs about 11 o'clock in the morning. I went down, I watched, and they had a box, and they put all the money in a box. And then Willie signed for about an hour and a half, and I watched him. At the end of the signing, he went over to his buddy, Mr. Franks, Herman Franks, and he gave him all the money because he was having hard times and this and that. And it just shows you how much a gentleman was Willie Mays. He gave him all the money from the signing on Sunday after his birthday party, and it was one of the nicest things I've seen a man do.
Thanks for the call, Jan. We're just up against it. Appreciate all of the stories that people have shared about Willie Mays. If people say he's the greatest player that many times, he's the greatest player. And it's just even better to hear about how great of a human being he was. Jake in Brooklyn on the fan. Quickly before we go, what's up, Jake?
Hey, first, thanks for taking my call. Let's go. I think you're totally wrong with the Orioles versus the Yankees.
Go on.
Yeah, I mean the Yankees have the superstars. They have probably three of the top five players in baseball. They have Theo, who could be a top 10 player in baseball.
What does that mean? What are you talking about? What does it mean if you have the top players and you still lose? What does it mean if you have the better players?
It's a very small sample size for the regular season.
It's six games
for the regular season. That's nothing.
Yeah, so as of today, where we are, with the better players being on the New York Yankees, the Orioles have gotten the best out of them 4 out of 6 times. So you're just furthering my point that I think right now, as of today, the Orioles have the edge. If the Yankees are able to defeat them with Luis Hill on the mound, then I don't know, maybe it's a little bit more even. But for you to say that they have Luis Hill and they have Aaron Judge and they have Juan Soto and they still can't beat him? Like, you're just furthering my point. Last call goes to Steve in Rockland. Steve, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, hi, Keith. You know, I heard David Cohn say, I forget if it was on the national broadcast or if it was on Yes. And he was talking about how the pitcher and the catcher are a team in terms of, you know, holding the runners and all that other stuff.
Yep.
You know, and am I not correct that 2 years ago, Trevino
was the platinum glove catcher.
He was a platinum glove. So it didn't just disappear.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, I guess they have to get together. These guys all have to get together, including Matt Blake, before the games. And they got to tighten some of this stuff up.
Yep.
Because it just can't be on the catcher.
It's going to be on him as far as people talking about it online and on the radio. It's just his fault. But that's why I keep saying, like, even Marcus Stroman and then different guys coming out of the bullpen. They know they can steal on some of these guys on the bullpen that might not be prepared. But everybody wants to point to Trevino's arm strength. He was an all-star 2 years ago, a platinum glove catcher, and nobody was talking about his arm strength. He's a pretty good catcher. He's just got to tighten up, and I think it's in his head now. And it's in your head now that the Orioles actually might be what we thought they were. Another must-win rubber match coming up later tonight, and the Rickwood Field game. I cannot wait. I'll be on after the Yankees play. Coming up right now is C-Max. Stay tuned for his show. Have a good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.